for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast that for 40 years of playing PlayStation, actually 50 years of playing PlayStation, and like 15 years in that games media combined. I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to join us in future conversations with us, you can come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist, where you watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. And if you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, account at patreon.com/thepopculturist, as well as our merchandise store, popculturist.com/shop, where you can buy shirts, other assorted shit with our logos on it. Oh, man. You gave me some mixed emotions today, Max. You did. I got a lovely message from you saying, oh man, I watched WWE Elimination Chamber this weekend. I was like, sick. It was a really good show, especially the back half. The back half was exceptional. And I was like, all right, let's see where this goes. Max, yeah. What happened, Max? What happened?
Well, I put it on when I got home from work this morning at like 1:30 and then proceeded to fall asleep within like 20-ish minutes.
Which makes sense, right? You it was the middle of the night. You were tired.
Like I think the last thing I remember was someone getting whipped in the back with some Syndra hair.
Yeah, yeah. That's Bianca Belair whipped Liv Morgan with her long ponytail, or as Phoebe calls Bianca, hair bitch, because she never remembers her name, so it's just hair bitch. But that's not too bad. You made it like a decent amount into the first match. You did get to see Jade Cargill come out and like just beat the living piss out of Naomi. That was fun.
I had no idea what that was about, for sure.
Yeah.
No. I'm like, you're clearly not part of this. Why is no one stopping this from happening?
Because there's no rules. The match hasn't started yet. There's no rules in a chain. The chamber match rules are pin submission. That's it.
There's clearly some bullshit, and it goes back to the meme that I sent you the other day of everything's made up and the points don't matter. Pretty because much. It's all bullshit.
Yeah.
It's all
bullshit. Yeah, that did pop me, right? So for those that may not know, there is a group chat of myself, Max, our good friend Paul James from Player 2, and our good friend Joel from Anygame. And after the events of Elimination Chamber, I sent a clip of the final moments. Spoilers for those who haven't met or seen it or are simply not interested, who cares? John Cena turned heel. He became a bad guy for the first time in his entire career, and it was awesome, and it was astounding. And I put that in the chat, and Joel went, I watched that, and I have no idea what just happened. Because he has no context to grapple on, which made me laugh.
See, I don't think he did turn heel.
He kicked Cody in the fucking ball bag, beat him.
He kicked someone in the ball bag after he swore and it wasn't bleeped. Therefore, he is the good guy punishing the wicked.
Oh, see that is a good way to consider it. You know,
he'll turn.
John Cena is the good guy.
He's such a good guy. He's like, no, he can't fucking swear on live TV. Kids watch this. Boom.
Could be. But then the additional beating afterwards indicates other things, though. But no, it was absolutely a massive moment. It's completely unpredictable. I never would have thought John Cena was going to turn heel ever. I thought he was going to go his entire run without it. But knowing that he's retiring at the end of this year, and we also found out this weekend that there is going to be another show in Australia, but they're doing a full weekend. I get a SmackDown, a pay-per-view, and a Raw, which is awesome, but it's in Perth, which blows. Still going to go, though. And from the rumor mill and what I have heard is that it will be in October. So one of the things you and I are discussing, Max, now, granted, I was mid-dessert when you sent that voice message through, and then I totally got to message you back, so I'll answer it now. I messaged Max. I'm like, look,
I more want Phoebe's answer, to be honest.
Yeah, I'll send you Phoebe's answer as well. I forgot to send her the voice messages too. So like, you know, I sent Max a message. I'm like, look, mate, from what I hear, WWE coming back and it's going to be in October and it's going to be in Perth. And I'm really sorry, but if I have to pick one, because obviously I've just started my new job, I'm not, I don't have the freedom to take a big hunk of time off or the leave to do so. So if I have to pick between PAX and WWE, I'm sorry, I'm picking WWE. And you have like, and you had, understandably, you were like, I don't know what to do at PAX if you weren't there. Because you're so used to just, like, you're so used to doing it in conjunction.
Well, it's more of a, obviously, if you were going, you would probably be going to do
some what bullshit. You did.
Yeah, what you did the other week when you went to fucking Brisbane or whatever,
yeah,
the fuck.
All the media stuff, yeah.
So I would imagine that you would have all the recording equipment. So even if I was to try and rope someone into helping me, I would have no gear to do anything anyway.
True.
So I would literally just be, I would literally just be walking around holding my dick for a Friday and then be like, I'm done. I would literally just go to the Friday, say hello to the people that I say hello to, and then be like, I'm done.
Yeah. It's one of those difficult positions in that.
And it's one of those things, because it's so early, we don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
PAX. Yeah. Like, you know, something crazy might happen. It's like, oh shit, maybe PAX is the place to be.
Yeah. Like we'll still apply for media and stuff like we normally do. And that won't change. But yeah, whether one of us could go, both of us could go, well, who knows? Right. I guess we'll find out later in the time, but, Yeah, you're absolutely true. I would have all the gear with me, yeah, because I need it. But yeah, no, it is interesting because when you did send that through, yes, granted, I was, you know, very distracted, but I did ponder on it.
I was literally driving to work. I was like, oh yeah,
yeah, because
it seems like a tapped opportunity to.
Yeah, because I was pondering on it, and in the same way, I'm like, yeah, that does make sense. It would be weird if you weren't to come, and those days that you have come to PAX and you weren't able to hang about, they are weird. But and then I remembered back to like when, you know, when Josh, who the original co-host of the show with myself, when he left, and then there was a window of time where I was doing most things by myself. Mm-hmm. It was really kind of it's weird. So like I understand where you're coming from, because yeah, for the longest time I'm like, this is the team, this is who it is. So to switch that up is bizarre. And you know, and like one of the things, if you don't mind me sharing, like one of the things you mentioned was that, you know, the imposter syndrome of what we do and the challenge that would face going to PAX. And that's absolutely true. Like as I, you know, last week in literally here in the show, like I talked about how I spent the weekend in Brisbane with friends of the show, Buddy and Ash and Dylan from the Explosion Network. And now we've known each other for like the better part of 8 years, but I always still feel weird like hanging out with them. Like I am taking up their time, I guess, even though we are all, you know, we are all friends.
Things but you only see them like once or twice a year, and it's like,
yeah, and like knowing that, like, you know, Buddy Dylan and Ash are like a closer knit collective than like myself, like I'm sort of separate from them, as are you. And a lot of that is because, you know, we've just, as we have further progressed in our content creating time, a lot of people have fallen off and they've gone away, and all the people we used to engage with are slowly starting to falling out of the industry. So yeah, like it's just, yeah, that's just me, I guess. I'm just me being fucking autistic, I guess. Big Shep in the chat says, Lurk, hope you've got FL's doing well. We are doing well. I said my voice is a little shoddy. It's come in and out a couple of times throughout the day, but you know, after Friday night, Saturday night working wrestling shows, pardon me. I'm a little bit beat the shit out of in the voice department. But we'll still do the show. We'll get there. We'll get it done. We got some things to talk about. Like an example being, what have we been playing? Max, what have you been playing?
Oh, not much. I've had a crazy weekend. So.
Oh, yeah. How was Green Day? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Green Day was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. but yeah, essentially what happened was Friday morning, The team over at Five Star provided codes for Monster Hunter Wilds, which I've been super keen for. But as I was on dad duty during the day, couldn't play. Friday night, my parents flew in from Queensland, so I was on driving duty. I had to pick them up from the airport, and I was hanging out with them for the night because I haven't seen my dad in like 4 years because he never comes down.
And you've got young children, so you don't really get to go up.
Yeah, and then Saturday, we hung out with the kids so they could spend some time with the kids because dad hadn't met Ollie yet. And then we went to Green Day, and then I didn't get home from Green Day till like 2:30 in the morning because traffic is a fucking nightmare when all the roads are closed and your GPS tells you to go the wrong fucking way, and then you're trying to do U-turns down streets that don't exist or are blocked, and it took me almost an hour to get from Marvel Stadium to the fucking Westgate Freeway.
Wow.
Which is only like 3 blocks away from it, by the way. Like,
yeah, it's not far.
It took me an hour. It's fucked. It was so shitty. And I hadn't eaten because, spoilers, there's no fucking gluten-free food at festivals.
Sure isn't.
Like that. There's just no chance. Green Day was fucking mint, though. I was the 30th anniversary for Dookie, 20th anniversary for American Idiot, and they just fucking pumped them one after the other. Just 2.5 hours of just solid bang, 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 bang. Also, one of the best shows I've ever been to. It was great. I had a seat. I never went to it. I kind of just stood out on the on one of the balconies overlooking the whole thing. It was awesome.
Oh, well, sorry about that. Minor technical issues. Like, the internet just crapped the bed out of nowhere, so stream died. But we'll keep going. We'll just won't stream it. So the last thing you said, Max, was that, yeah, you were at Green Day, had some, you know, you're able to stand up, see the view, but in turn, you've not been able to play a whole lot.
Yeah, so obviously, I put about an hour into Monster Hunter, so not deep enough to kind of give a full overview and review yet, but I am enjoying my time with it so far. They've made some changes from Monster Hunter World to here in Wilds with the Insect Glaive, which is my weapon of choice. They kind of changed the way the system works with that. I'm having some frame rate issues at the moment. I'm running it on Fidelity. I did have it originally uncapped, but when the monster turf wars happen and there's too much going on screen, it's just a shaky mess. So I kind of capped it at, I think there's the option for 30 or 40. So I capped it to 40. And that has alleviated some of the problems. I know PC's having issues as well. But so far, I am enjoying my time with it. Hopefully, it gets some love in the form of a patch, similar to that of Dragon's Dogma 2 when that first released. That was a hot mess of frame rate problems and performance issues. So hopefully, Capcom will also come in here and they'll see our SOS flare and they'll be like, "Yeah, well, we got you."
Yeah. So like very, very similar to yourself. You know, it's been a busy weekend, as you mentioned. You had Green Day. I had a wrestling show on Friday, I had a wrestling show on Saturday night, but I also had my son, and then we had Elimination Chamber, which we discussed. So I had a pretty busy weekend, so I didn't spend a lot of time gaming myself, even during the week with the new job. Come the end of the day, I am just like dead. Like, this job is actually making me use my brain, which I really appreciate, but takes a lot out of you. So similar to yourself, I wasn't able to dive into Monster Hunter World until today. Dived into it this when I got home after work, knowing that we were recording tonight. I'm like, I'll give it a bell. So I was in the I've made a much more handsome version of myself, and I made Charlie my cat as the Pelico. I went with the, what's the one that goes from a sword to an axe?
Oh, the switch axe. Yeah, that's what it's called.
Yeah, the switch axe or sword glaive or some bullshit. So, like, for me, knowing that I'm not brilliant at games like this, I want something that has defensive capabilities plus a little bit of speed, but can also do reasonable. Like, I want a good all-rounder. And it felt like...
Yeah, the switch axe.
The switch axe, yeah. So, it's the one that I felt that would give me the most of what I look for in how I want to play Monster Hunter. And it's delivering me that. A couple of things that are immediately frustrating me initially, because like I said, I'm similar to yourself, I played like an hour. The controls are odd in that, like, I keep trying to like attack with, dodge with circle, but X is dodge.
Well, I want to point out that the controls aren't odd. You just haven't played any of the fucking previous games because they've always been.
I played dodge. Worlds, and that was Worlds so was long ago.
And X was and Worlds was X to dodge.
Oh, I'm sure it was, but like it's very much of me having to readjust my brain to play it. I enjoyed attacking the first boss, which is like some frog thing. That was kind of fun. The game does similar to what we were discussing earlier. The game looks good when it wants to, even during like, you know, conversational cutscenes or like dialogue moments. People are like phasing in the background. So I'm not like one playing on standard PS5 as are you. I am playing on, I think I went with the balanced mode, and then originally I was messing with just an uncapped frame rate just to see what it would do, because with my tally it's got like the, if I hold the play button, it will show me the active frame rate. So I'm seeing it go from like 120 to 30, 120 to 40, 120 to 50, 120 to 30. Like, it's just bouncing around all over the place. And it does feel a bit jank because of that. So I'm thinking I might do what you've mentioned. Yeah, just go into fidelity mode and put like a cap 60 on it maybe. Because it does, the picture quality seems to reduce quite heavily when you go to performance from fidelity or even balanced. Like, so much so that it looks like noticeably softer. That's a shame. But yeah, it's still very, very early days. Monster Hunter is definitely more of a franchise for you rather than me. But seeing as the team over at Five Star Games were provided both of us a code to mess with.
It was funny for the week prior to receiving a code. I think I spent a majority of my time being like, Ryan, this is not a game for you.
Yeah, I'm very aware.
Just let me handle it. We don't need to do what we normally do. It's fine. And you're like, no, I kind of dabbled with World. I want to dabble with this.
No, if we got one code, I would have just given it to you. But we were very kindly given two. So I'm like, I don't have to
Yeah, it was good. And I'm like, ah. Oh.
Because I would have just given it straight to you, in the same way that WWE, you know, is out in the next week, and I assume you give no shits. So I got to take that code for me.
Not at all. But part of me is like, oh, maybe I should join in on these Thursday night
on my GMs. Go online. I reckon
Thursday night GM modes. And I'll just come in as someone who knows nothing about anything. And clutch a win.
Well, that's what I was going to... that's what would be fun. Like, with you having no emotional attachment to anyone, you just get to play the stats game. And I think that would be fun. Like, I'd be down, like, once the code becomes available. We'll do one. Even if you come here and you sit at the desk with me and we do, like, a... Let's do a GM, you and me. Someone who's never fucking played in their entire life. Someone who adores it. And let's see what happens. That way you don't have to like get a copy of it. We can just come do it. And when was the last time we did something in person, you know?
Oh, fucking yonks.
Like, that might be a good laugh. But yeah, that there. So like, yeah, we're very, very aware that, you know, this is a max game. Not the most thing for me, but that's fine. Like, I'm very grateful that we've now both have easy access to it.
Very much so.
Oh, excuse me, that kicked me out of nowhere. But outside of that, I don't think I've really played much either.
Outside of Monster Hunter Wild, played Ghost of Tsushima this week.
Ghost of Tsushima? What brought Ghost of Tsushima back?
So friend of mine, Cass, was playing it the other day. I'm like, hey, I'm gonna download it. I'm gonna play with Cass.
Legends.
Multiplayer was fun. Yeah, Legends was fun. And then we've convinced one of our friends to buy it, so we're currently leveling him up so we can redo the raid.
Has there been new content since you last played? No. Okay.
Not at all. So I'm sitting on like 3 max level characters of the 4. But yeah, I think I got a message today saying, hey, we're going to push through to get him to the final levels tonight. You keen? I said, no, I'm recording podcast, go away. You guys get him raid ready, and you tell me when you guys are ready to do the raid, and I'll come in and do the raid with you.
Nice.
So, yeah, we've been playing that on and off, just doing the survival modes. So generally it's I will protect one point by myself and tell everyone to piss off and leave me alone, and then the between the three of them they'll protect the other 2 points. I'll just sit up in my watchtower putting bombs everywhere, kill all the enemies when they come in, and if they with the character I'm playing the Ronin class. The Ronin has a global revive, but whenever they go down I just revive them at a range and then just send them on their way. Like, you guys leave me alone. You guys stay over there. You help each other out. If I really need you, I'll call you.
You and your bloody min-max playing. One thing I did also, though, I did get back to and I did get past it, was Kingdom Come Deliverance 2. So I haven't finished the game, most definitely not. But last time we were talking, I was stuck in this moment, you know, where you're in Castle Trotsky. And you've got 12 hours in game to save yourself and your mate. I successfully did it. Thank you very much. Thank you. We discussed it last week where I was like, I can't break into the fucking chest. You know what was wrong, Max? I had to learn how to unlock shit properly. I assume you just hold the left, you just go right to the rim. And you go, all right, that'll do. No, you got to find that little golden moment. You got to like it. You got to like.
Did you not look at the tutorial when you first ever did it?
No. Well, I did, but it was an image, and the image had it at the very far out. I was like, okay. So I assumed that if I couldn't find it in the outer rim, I'm not at the level to unlock it.
No, it'll specifically come up on your screen saying you can't unlock this.
Yeah.
Like, it'll literally tell you that you can't do it.
Yeah, so I went and did that. I was able to get all the ingredients. Then I made the fever potion, ran it up to the guy, and then all the cutscenes kicked in. And to the game's credit, the cutscene is very much set up in like, hey, you fucked up. You failed. Like, it suddenly went straight to hour 12, and I was at hour 3 or whatever. So that was fun. But yeah, so I have it like, so that's all done. That's all resolved. I'm now being commissioned off to the next area. Haven't left yet. I just walked out of the room, and old Hans chewed out the guy for almost killing him, and then I saved it. I was like, I'll come back to this because I'm excited to get back into the outside world. But it was a fun little moment to sort of separate you into, you know, lock you in a zone and really play with the game, quote unquote, in like a different way. But I can understand if you're not ready for that, or if you're not spec'd correctly, or quote-unquote correctly, that scene could be a deal-breaker for you, like that whole area. Like, if you don't know what you're doing, if you struggle at any point, and you can't seem to dictate, you know, think about what you can do to resolve it, you will very quickly get to that 12-hour mark, and you'll very quickly have an outcome that is going to be difficult to recover from if you can. I'm pretty sure the game just ends if your mate dies. I haven't seen it, but I assume it does. But thankfully, it didn't for me. I was able to keep it on. But yeah, I'm excited to go back out now. I want to see this new area. I want to see what it has. Seeing as it's like larger than the first area, and I did pretty much everything I could in the first one. But I'm assuming there's more I could do, because I do have a lot of fun. I'm just going around doing nothing. But outside of that, I did boot up Civ 7, mostly just to be like, hey, let's see what this looks like. And then immediately I became intimidated by the character selection. It was like, who do you want to be? And I'm like, three of these look the same. And I assume they are just of different, like, influences, right? Like how does, what separates the characters?
So there's a little list on the side that gives you like what their strengths and weaknesses are. Yeah. So it'll be like, this person's strong with commerce. This person's strong with religion. This person gives this bonus. And you have to know how you want to play before.
That's what I was going to say. Because like, well, I read those and I'm like, I don't know what the fuck that means.
So, yeah, you're like, you've got to decide which way you're going to win the game. So if you're like, I'm going to win by, like, conquest of war. So you want to pick the person who's good at, like, unit generation or stuff like that.
Is there a good all-rounder to start with? Who's good to start with?
Anyone with diplomacy is good.
Yeah.
Anyone who has bonuses, diplomacy. That way you can kind of talk your way out of anything, or like if you need something done, you can make a trade deal, stuff like that. Like diplomacy is kind of useful.
All right. Well, yeah. Well, in that case, I'll pick one of diplomacy, and ideally next week I'll have some things to say about it. Pardon me, assuming WWE doesn't rock up any moment now. But all right, let's get into the section we call Inform the Players. We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation.
Now, this week in PlayStation, they announced the upcoming essential titles for the month of March, hammering the final nail into the coffin. Dragon Age: The Veilguard is joining the essentials lineup this month as the headliner.
That was quick. Yep, at least I'll play it now.
I've got a friend who, even though it's going to be free, will not play it.
Why?
I'm like, form your own opinion. Play it.
Are they all like, nah, it's woke bullshit nonsense? Or are they just like, it's crap, so I won't play it?
They're like, I've seen enough. I'm not interested.
Oh, and I agree. I have absolutely seen enough to go, this is not for me. But seeing as it's free, I'll play it for 5 minutes. Like, what am I going to do?
There's also the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Cowabunga Collection.
That is dope. I'm very happy for that one.
Sonic Colors Ultimate.
That sounds ass, but my son will love it.
Yeah, Hadley will enjoy it.
Yeah. Because Hadley's getting all up in the Sonic at the moment, eh?
Yeah, she is.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That's not a bad... Like, once again, Dragon Age the Veilguard may be poo, but in the same way that, like, by giving Saints Row was part of the PS Plus, it opens it up to individuals that would have shat on it, or at least give further confirmation to people that went, is this game going to be shit? And they play it and they go, oh yeah, it was pretty shit, eh? So, best of both worlds. Speaking of best of both worlds, Sony this week, Max, has announced new price points for the PSVR 2, which is the latest in its VR tech. So this was revealed via the PS blog. The headset's RRP is being significantly reduced, with the new prices going into effect starting next month, which is March, which is currently now. So the prices as of today, I believe, are altered. The PSVR 2 still comes in its two SKUs, one being the headset itself, as well as the other being bundled in with Call of the Mountain. Now, looking at the prices, so we'll look at the prices using US dollars, and then we'll switch into Aussies. So both bundles, whether it be with or without the game, will be going at $399.99 USD, which is more or less matching the RRP of the original PSVR. So for comparisons, the old price was $549.99. On top of everything else, a new update for PSVR 2 has added the low latency hand tracking support, meaning it can now track your hands and their positions without the need for controllers. So if we were to have a look at EB Games. Now, Max, do you recall what we paid at launch?
Too much?
Apart from a lot.
I don't. It was a lot, though.
Yeah, let's see. PSVR 2. I added a B in there for some reason.
It definitely wasn't $649. I would say it was closer to $949.
Yeah.
If it's $150 US off, it'd be close to $300 Australian off.
Well, let me have a look, because I can log in to my EB World account, and I'll be like, where is it? Order history. Let's see. When was it? This time last year, roundabout, wasn't it?
Let's have a look. PSVR 2 launch date. Yeah, it came out February 22nd, 2023.
February 22nd, 2023. So let's see. Oh, wait, when did we pre-order it, though? PSVR 2, here we go. We paid $879.95. So it is reduced by a quite impressive
$230
That's a substantial cut. Wow.
It's a 25% cut.
Yeah, that's pretty huge. So if you were someone at home that was interested in the PSVR 2, but had never made the jump, look, $600 and something is still a lot of money, but compared to the $800 and something that, you know, that we paid, it's gonna look. It's not a bad pickup. PSVR 2 is pretty cool. Now, Max, you're currently in possession of our PSVR 2.
Correct.
Last we spoke, you were under negotiations with your father about obtaining their PSVR 2. Is that something on the cards?
I don't know. I didn't even bring it up.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Well, I didn't even bring it up.
Yeah. Because I was going to play something. Oh, yeah, that's right. Because Star Wars Galaxy's Edge or whatever was free for PS Plus Premium a little while ago. I'm like, yeah, I'll play that. That sounds fun. And then I forgot you had the PSVR 2, so I couldn't play it. But, yeah, not a bad deal. For those who are interested, check out some cool games. Speaking of cool games, your turn.
Okay, next up, moving away from PlayStation news. Developer Bloober Team has announced it will be working with publisher Konami on a new project following the huge success of the Silent Hill 2 remake. Writing on their official website, the Polish studio says it's working on, quote, a new game based on Konami's IP, though stop short of saying which IP. Quote, the trust built upon the success of Silent Hill 2 laid the foundation for signing another agreement for a new project, reads the statement. The deal aligns with Bloober Team's strategic plan to expand its internal development division within a first-party framework. Piotr Bibiano, Bloober Team CEO, says the team, quote, can't reveal too many details at this time, but they're confident that fans will be just as excited about our collaboration as we are, calling it something truly special. Given the quality of Silent Hill 2 and Bloober's area of expertise, it feels like a given that this mysterious new game will be another Silent Hill. However, the statement doesn't specify beyond Konami IP, so theoretically it could be anything within the publisher's dusty back catalog. I'm calling it now. We're getting Frogger.
That would be a laugh. So they allocate Bloober, the team behind Silent Hill, Blair Witch, The Medium, a gritty reboot on Frogger.
Or we're getting the craziest fucking Yu-Gi-Oh game known to mankind.
Oh, what's the soccer game they did for a little while? They just do that. Pro Evolution Soccer, I think it was. Yeah, Pro Evo is about to get real weird. So, like, when I look at this, now, granted, we discussed this when I reviewed Silent Hill 2 with our good friend Fid. You messed with it a little bit yourself. Bloober Team have not had a good track record. Up until Silent Hill 2, there was a lot of questionable sort of games. They delivered and they were fine, like aggressively fine. But when given the handle of an old IP where the framework is already at place, you can see where their skill sets come through. It appears Bloober fall short in an original IP capacity. But even then, Blair Witch was kind of average, which is a known IP, but like not a. It's a new creation rather than a remake or a remaster. So I guess the question for you, Max, because would you want to see more Silent Hill? Would you want to see them go somewhere else? Like maybe do we get Castlevania from them?
Well, we could get Castlevania. We could get Metal Gear.
Because whoever the team's behind Snake Eater Delta or whatever are going to be the ones if they do more.
We could get Bomberman.
Yeah. Okay, what else we got?
Yeah, I have a feeling it's just gonna be more Silent Hill.
Yeah, it's like
I don't think nothing else really makes sense.
Yeah.
From a Bloober Team wheelhouse. Maybe they're gonna do Dance Dance Revolution.
Oh, that'd be cool. But with the sentence in which it was delivered, which is a quote, a new game based on Konami's IP. So that doesn't specify whether it's a new game in a franchise or whether it's a new game from an IP, as in, is it a remake or a remaster, or is it a brand new game in a franchise? So with something like Silent Hill, we know we've got Silent Hill F coming. And that is a brand new title within the Silent Hill universe. Like, or do they just remaster 3?
I'd be okay with them doing a Castlevania game. I think that would be fine. I think they could do that.
Especially in like the in our, you know, Metroidvania world that we live in, where it happens quite frequently. It would be nice to do Castlevania. They did those collections a little while ago. What was it? There was the Dominus collection. I think was all the like GBA ones. Then there was the collection that came with Symphony of the Night and Rondo of Blood, I think. I forget what it was called. Yeah. So, look, there's absolutely due for a new Castlevania. I think the last Castlevania was a PS3 game?
The last one was in 2024.
Really?
Sorry, that's Haunted Castle, which is a spin-off. I think the last one was 2014 with Lords of Shadows 2, which was a PS3 title.
Yeah. Have a look. Yeah. So it's definitely in the need, definitely due something. But it's such a beloved franchise. I guess in this is saying the same with Silent Hill 2 was quite a beloved franchise. So in my first response is, ooh, it's so well loved. Should they be able to, should they mess with it? Should they try again? Or do they remake Symphony of the Night? You know, one of the, if not the, like, most prolific Castlevania game to have released. But with that being, like, you know, a side 2D title, are they going to then put it into a 3D space? It's going to make a really sick 2D version. Who knows? But I guess we'll find out in kind. All right, excuse me while I cough and just have a sip of my water. It's really cool, Max, that like some
teams are succeeding.
Yeah, some teams are getting the opportunity to make a new game, where there are some studios who will never make a game again. And sadly, this year is another time. This year has been a very, very consistent thread of studios closing, games being cancelled, and this week is no different. The video games industry grim march continues. With word coming down, the publisher Warner Brothers Games has shuttered multiple studios, including Monolith Productions, best known for the Middle-Earth Shadow of Mordor and Shadow of War series, excuse me, Player First Games, the team behind Multiverses, and Warner Brothers Games San Diego, which focus on free-to-play multiplayer games. Further, WB confirmed that Monolith Productions' in-development Wonder Woman game has also been cancelled. Bloomberg's Jason Schreier broke the news on Blue Sky, and WB confirmed the news to Kotaku in a statement, thank you to IGN. We've been hearing reports about the troubled state of Wonder Woman for some time now, and still, the larger news does come as something of a shock. WB made the following statement. It reads, quote, "We have had to make some very difficult decisions to structure our development studios and investments around building the best games possible with our key franchises, Harry Potter, Mortal Kombat, DC, and Game of Thrones. After careful consideration, we are closing 3 of our development studios, Monolith Productions, Player First Games, and Warner Brothers Games San Diego. This is a strategic change in direction and not a reflection of those teams or the talent that consists within them." The statement goes on to say that, quote, "the development of Monolith's Wonder Woman video game will not move forward," end quote. And that, quote, "unfortunately, this is no longer possible within our strategic priorities," end quote. They then conclude with, quote, "as difficult as today is, we remain focused on and excited about getting back to producing high quality games for our passionate fans, developed by our world-class studios, and getting our games business back to profitability and growth in 2025 and beyond," end quote.
Okay, Monolith built one of the greatest fucking...
combat systems, yeah, like the enemy AI, yeah.
They created one of the greatest systems in that of Nemesis. That I've seen in gaming in such a long time, and they're just like, fucking shut them down. Let other people use our fucking system then.
Well, it's patented. They own the patent. And the patent, last I heard, I can't confirm it. This is what I heard. 2036.
Then license it out to people, you pricks. Make some money that way. Let other people use it.
Yeah. So it's...
It is such a brilliant system. It does not deserve to go fucking dusty on your shelf because you can't handle it properly.
Look, it is a real shame for Monolith, right? The two games that they did reasonably well. Now, my understanding, let me do a quick check. I'm pretty sure Monolith didn't do anything else, right? If they did, it was pretty small. Monolith Productions, let's have a look. So, they clearly worked on a fuckload of games before that. Like, a fuckload. That is very ignorant of me, Ryan. So they've done quite a number of Middle-Earth titles. Oh my god, they did Gotham City Impostors. I tried to play that for a while, but it had no local servers. It was ass. They did the Fear franchise. They did Condemned. They did some series called Blood, I guess. But yeah, predominantly from, let's just say, 2005 is where they really kicked in a gear. They did The Matrix Online, which was a role online MMORPG based within the Matrix universe. And then, yeah, Fear and Gut, and then into Middle of Earth. Middle Earth, and then they died. So, there's a couple of things at play here that I find really interesting. Firstly is that WB have been actively trying to sell their shit off for what feels like years. Like, how many times have we heard about them being for sale, or they're hunting buyers, or they're willing to sell off IP? And clearly no one bit. No one was interested, and sadly that left this result. Granted, this result isn't awesome. However, I am glad they weren't picked up from, like, the Embracer Group or Microsoft or one of these other IP conglomerates that are getting in the way. So yeah, it's very disappointing that Monolith have, obviously they've been working on Wonder Woman for quite a while, which we did see at a PlayStation showcase two years ago. And it really came out of the blue, and it appears that showcase may have a little bit of vaporware to it. Obviously we're not seeing Wonder Woman. That was where they also announced the Knights of the Old Republic remake that we're likely never going to see. It's a bit difficult. Now, the Wonder Woman game would have been okay. Like, I don't think Wonder Woman has the same cachet she may have had a couple of years ago, or at all. I think obviously the first Wonder Woman movie was really good. Then 1984 was Cheeks, and I don't think the appreciation towards her as a character has been as strong. But shutting down the Multiverses team makes sense because they canned the game because it was clearly unsuccessful. I would argue, I'd be reasonable to argue that, you know, where was it, the sentence here? This is a strategic change in direction and not a reflection of these teams or the talent that consists within them. Like, Monolith is very clearly a talented studio. It does feel like absolute mismanagement at the hands of WB. I do wonder what their strategic plan is. Is it just work on the things that make money? Whether it be, you know, was it Portkey Games with Harry Potter? NetherRealms with Mortal Kombat? DC doing like Rocksteady with DC predominantly, and I forget who's working. There is a Game of Thrones game in the works, but I forget who's working on it. Let me have a look. Game of Thrones game. Is that the Winter is Coming, right?
That's King's Road.
King's Road. That's right. Yeah.
It's by Netmarble.
Netmarble. Yeah, so like, that's kind of it, right? So in other words, WB have decided to solely just work on the big fuckers. Let's not waste time with anything else. Let's not take any risks. Let's go with... But even then, I say that. Hogwarts Hogwarts Legacy was really good, but was wrapped in controversy. Mortal Kombat is pretty good, but didn't they? When did they release Mortal Kombat 1? It was a couple of years ago. Then there's Rocksteady. Rocksteady just came off the back of Suicide Squad, which was butt, and by connection, Gotham Knights with WB Montreal.
2023 for combat.
Yeah, it was last year. Yeah, where? Yeah, like why is ago. WB Montreal still around? Like,
in 2025 now.
Oh shit, we are too. WB Montreal. Let's see. Yeah, so WB Montreal, they did, they worked, they were the ones behind Gotham Knights. They were additional supports on Suicide Squad. They did Arkham Origins, which was okay, but also a bit shit, and it's actively not included in the larger Arkhamverse. Apparently, they're working on a DC Comics game developed within Unreal Engine 5, so... who knew what that is? I bet they're just working alongside whatever Rocksteady decide to do. So why the fuck are they still around? Their track record of like 6 games, not even, is shit. And half of them are butt. So why are they still available? Like where? Like granted, San Diego is working on mobile stuff, but...
because they probably get a bigger tax break from...
yeah, from Canada, right? Yeah. Yeah, it's true. San Diego is like, you know... not the cheapest place to make games. If you're making games in California, you're probably not going to have a good time. Like from a financial standpoint. And that's a shame. But yeah, I guess that's the way I look at it. Like I don't see them doing anything around the Nemesis system. It's gone. It's lost. And even then, the presumption was that it was being included in Wonder Woman in some capacity. But Wonder Woman's Rogues Gallery was never that brilliant to begin with. Additionally, has the... like, do you think, Max, do you think the novelty of the system is gone now? So even if they were to license it out and it was to be picked up by someone and they were to put it in their game, do you think it would work?
It depends on how it was implemented. It would have to go in the right game. It would have to make sense for those enemies to be able to escape you to begin with to create the Nemesis system. Like, it's not like you could be like, oh, drop it in the next Dark Souls games, because those bosses, you either kill or be killed. Like, there's few, it's not like the bosses are running away. It would have to be in a certain style of game where you're versing the same boss over and over again. I could see it working well in an Insomniac superhero game.
Yeah. Yes. Spider-Man's got the Rogues Gallery to back that up.
I could see it working in, I don't know. What else is coming out soon that it could work well in?
Wolverine, perhaps? X-Men's?
Add it to Monster Hunter Wilds. let the monsters work out how you're hunting them and they hunt you right back.
Yeah, my favorite part of the Nemesis was when they would come back and yell like very targeted insults at you. That's what I would like to see out of the monsters in Monster Hunter. That would be a laugh. But yeah, that does bring us to the end of the news. No quick bits even this week, Max.
No, there's literally bugger all this week.
Wow.
But we do have some upcoming titles. So coming out on the 4th of May, 4th of March, sorry, we have Age of Mythology Retold.
Yeah, man. Like coming across to the PlayStations.
Yeah. We have Carmen Sandiego. Two-point museum.
Brisbane team for Carmen Sandiego, I believe. Australia. I don't know whether it's like the Carmen Sandiego that I grew up on.
Like the where in the world and you got to trace it.
Yeah. Yeah, that shit was the best. I love that game so much. Two-point museum. Let's get moist. Moist.
Two-point museum. And we've got War Robots Frontiers.
Yeah, less excited about that one.
On the 6th of March, we have Care Bears to the Rescue. Aldrador, Creatures Shadowfall. Ever 17, The Out of Infinity. Never 7, The End of Infinity.
Okay.
Memory Lost. Sorry, We're Closed.
Oh.
Split Fiction.
Yeah.
Suikoden 1 and 2 HD Remaster, Gate, Rune, and Dunin Unification.
Now, Max, have you ever played Suikoden?
No.
Have you even wanted to?
I full on looks like a Max game.
Yeah, so I applied for a code on Keymail for us.
It looks like one of those old school.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like very much it.
I did the same thing. I looked at that and went, that looks like a fucking Max game. And like Suikoden is like one of the like, it's a name that you hear a lot in the JRPG space. So it's baffled to me that you've never played it before. But I thought, like, let's reach out.
I bet you it's on a console that I didn't own. Oh, no, they're on PlayStation. Yeah. OG PlayStation game. It's one of those things that you
just
kind of...
slip past you.
You pick your JRPG franchise and you stick to that like a motherfucker.
Yeah, pretty much.
And mine was Final Fantasy. Like, that's... Yeah. It's just the same reason why I haven't played Dragon Quest games. Like,
you would love Dragon Quest, I feel.
I would love Dragon Quest, but I picked Final Fantasy and it felt like a betrayal to play any other.
I understand. Yeah,
And then on the 7th of March, I am really looking forward to this game. We have another hero shooter coming into the mix with Fragpunk.
That's the one with the cards, right?
You could buy the cards in between rounds, and they would change the way the game works. You could flip the map upside down. You can put the map in total darkness. You can play in big head mode, so the enemy team have gigantic heads, so it's easy to headshot them. It looks great. Apparently completely free to play. Ooh. You don't have to buy those cards. Those cards are given to they are available to everyone as a free to play player. kind of keen. But obviously the big one this week is
Split Fiction.
Possible game of the contender, Split Fiction.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we're able to mess with that. It does look like a lot of fun.
Joseph Rez and his team over at Hazelight knocked it out of the park last time, and I have a feeling they're going to knock it out of the park again this time.
Yeah, judging by that second trailer that we saw in the most recent state of play, like that was less interesting to me than the first time we saw it, where like It Takes Two kind of interest me the entire time. Like every way they showcased it, I could just. But I think the a larger, more cartoonish delivery of It Takes Two from like a character design, because you're playing little like puppets, little toys, I think worked to its advantage. Where in Split Fiction, they're going for a more storytelling, like imagination based, but a lot more realistically looking. Like similar to that of No Way Out.
Yeah.
But wait and see, I guess.
Which I didn't enjoy at all.
Yeah, so this could go either way for you, I feel. But we'll find out. But anyways, that does bring us to the end of the show. Once again, big apologies for the technical difficulties earlier with the sharp cut. But my internet decided to have a seizure. And I couldn't work out why. But we're back up and running now, so success. Max, get out of here.
All right, everybody. This PlayStation conversation happens every Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can. Come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below. If you want to party up in Monster Hunter, my Twitter handle is my PSN. Hit me up. I'll come play.
If you want to join the conversation, if you want to join the conversation as it happens and when my internet works, you can by heading over to twitch.tv/popcultures, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. And if you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/popcultures. As well as our merchandise store, of course, you can come to our shop where you can buy shirts and other sort of shit with our logos on it. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players.